This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Saturday Magazine, sponsored by Velocity Rewards,
your award-winning loyalty program for Virgin Australia's frequent flyers.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12.
Benjamin Preece is a senior journalist at The Age. Good morning, Benjamin. How are you today?
I'm doing okay, thanks. How are you?
Morning, Benjamin.
Pretty good. It's Macca and Dano. Look, thanks again for making some time to have a chat to us. We wanted one of the issues, obviously, George Pell. His appeal, was found, 2-1 that it was dismissed. If I'm right in assuming this, Benjamin, the High Court doesn't have to hear this appeal, assuming Pell's legal team go ahead with one. But the basis of that appeal, should they decide to hear it, has to be around an error in law. Is that correct?
My understanding is that is correct, and that their cause for hope, Pell's legal team, is that the decision the other day was not unanimous. So the doubts cast by one judge on the original decision, has given them hope that there's more avenues they can explore for appeal.
Well, I suppose, the Catholic Church has stated that 2-1 decision. I remind them that the disciples, it was an 11-1 decision, so I don't talk about that one. But do you think the High Court, number one, do you think the High Court, because of the public interest grounds, is pretty likely to entertain the appeal, providing that it's, it's got some structure and it's got some basis? Do you think they're likely to hear it?
Well, I mean, yeah, it's a... To be completely frank, I'm not sure. I guess the fact that, the decision wasn't unanimous the other day, and, given the kind of public interest here, that could open, the avenues for another appeal. But, it's not completely straightforward, is it? It's not completely, it's kind of self-evident that they can just simply, Pell's legal team can just simply, apply to the High Court to appeal this and it will be heard.
So, Ben, it strikes me that the fact that it wasn't unanimous has given a lot of Pell supporters license to question the original verdict and claim that, there's still a sliver of hope that he's not guilty and, there seems to be a lot of...
Including the Archbishop of Melbourne, I might say.
Well, that's true. He was very wishy-washy about... what he said about it. Do you think that's a problem that it was, it wasn't unanimous?
Well, I mean, is it a problem? I don't know. I mean, I guess that's just the reality of these kind of, complex situations. But that's the way the law is structured, isn't it? That, it wasn't unanimous, but there is room for that to make sure that, the justice process can take its course and that, if the majority of judges in this situation do think that George Pell was guilty and the original verdict was sound, then that's the way it goes. I didn't completely understand the Archbishop of Melbourne's position on this, that he thought that somehow both the victim and George Pell could be right. You mentioned Peter Comensoli's position on that just a few minutes ago, and I got to say, it didn't completely make sense to me. I thought he tied himself up in a knot.
He did seem to throw an anonymous person under the bus, didn't he? Something that we don't know. He basically said, "Yes, I agree. I believe the victim, but it's a case of mistaken identity." Well, who was it?
We don't think it was George.
Yeah,
like.
Yeah. I thought that was a. I found that a little bit odd.
Because it really, the church, and look, let's be clear here. George Pell has every right to pursue his appeal opportunities. Everyone does. But, you know, to say, well, look, actually, you know, I'm the Archbishop of Melbourne. I believe George Pell is innocent. I believe the victim. I reckon it was someone else. I mean, you know, whatever this guy is drinking, I think he needs to pull it back a bit, because what he's saying is he's sending out such a conflicting message, you know, let alone, you know, where does he sit on this? You know, he visits George Pell in jail. That's fine. That's his role, you know, as Archbishop. But what it does, it creates doubt. I want to ask Benjamin, you know, The Age and yourself, you know, you've reported a lot on these matters. That's got to be pretty challenging a lot of the time, you know, to deal with these issues. And how do you then write the story? Tell us about that.
Well, I mean, challenging in what sense? Like hearing all those details about the... Well, I mean, for me, I've largely kind of covered the politics of, I guess, policy regarding the Catholic Church recently. I haven't been exposed to a whole lot of it. Like, I didn't sit through court. I haven't combed through any court documents on all of this. So, I haven't had to be exposed to a lot of that kind of quite traumatic detail. But I do know that the court round is one of the toughest in reporting in terms of being exposed to a lot of traumatic material. You know, if you think of some of the big cases that have, you know, that have been heard recently, so, you know, this stuff or, you know, the you know, a lot of the abuse cases that have been covered over the years, the George Pell case, you know, even sitting through something like the court hearings regarding like the Bourke Street, you know, the Bourke Street killings. I mean, that is really hard stuff to deal with. And you've got to try and, you know, do a professional job at the time. You've got to try and, you know, work out what's the story here, what's my angle. You've got to try and do all of those kind of almost mundane everyday kind of things that you would normally do when you're just putting together a story that doesn't involve, you know, disturbing material. But at the same time, you're processing all of this other awful, horrible stuff. And you know, if you might find yourself in a situation where you can, for some reason, you can really sort of empathize with the victim. Like maybe you have a child the same age, or there's some way that sort of brings you closer. And that can really hit home, I think, for a lot of reporters. So processing this stuff for days afterwards in the evening, you know, it can really play on reporters' minds. And I think that, yeah, we're starting to appreciate now what effect that can have on the psyche of reporters, and the need to kind of really look after that.
Ben, would we be having the same conversation if we swapped the name of George Pell to, say, the head of the Islamic Council of Australia?
The same conversation how, in terms of...
If a prestigious IMAN in Australia was facing, you know, was in the same position, had been convicted of a sexual crime and was in jail, would the media be as interested in that story, or would it just be, would the public be as outraged as they are?
Well, I mean, I think that's a really interesting question. I see an interesting kind of parallel with something else that's come up in state politics recently regarding the church. So to answer that question first, look, he is one of the most senior Catholics in the world. So it's like by any kind of measurement, this is a massive story. In terms of like public outrage, I mean, are you suggesting that there's a huge amount of kind of public support for George Pell?
There certainly seems to be.
Public opinion's quite divided.
There seems to be a fair bit of public support, and I just wonder if it was a different religion, for instance, that we would be seeing so much angst in the community.
I suspect not. Mm. Yeah, but yeah, it's it would just be speculating, wouldn't we? I know what you mean. I think that perhaps we would not be. I wonder if there'd be hordes of people rallying for a figurehead of another kind of religious group. I'm not sure.
Yeah, because I'm thinking of I've forgotten her name. It's Malka, but the Jewish woman
Malka Leifer.
Malka Leifer.
Yeah.
There just seems to be utter disgust with the allegations against her. There doesn't seem to be a split in the community that perhaps she's not guilty, and she hasn't even there's not been a trial. So
that's right. That's right, yeah. Well, the thing you've got to remember about Malka Leifer is that she was a leader of sorts within a religious, a very, very religious sect within the Jewish community. So she was not a kind of a really sort of mainstream religious kind of religious figure.
And wasn't a powerful political figure and George Pell was he notoriously said that homosexuality was more dangerous than smoking.
The Catholic Church wields enormous power in the state. If you just look at the kind of their property portfolio alone, it is absolutely enormous. And while I think off the top of my head, enrollments in Catholic schools might be dropping off a little bit, they still have an enormous number of schools, enormous number of students. So, they still wield a lot of clout. But I think one interesting thing I wanted to raise on all of this was, and something that I have been a lot closer to, is the recent laws that are being introduced into the Victorian Parliament about that would force Catholic priests to break the seal of the confessional, and I think that that's been something where the Andrews government has resisted the might of of the Catholic Church, and it seems to have there seems to be like an interesting fault line opening up in the within the Liberal Party on this as well, because they also took this policy, the coalition, to the last election, and now they seem to have backed off slightly, they've sort of moderated their language on this.
When they backed off, they've backed down.
Yeah. Well, they've sent sort of mixed messages on this, haven't they? Whereas before, they went first. Peter Walsh, the leader of the National,
was first.
He was the first to come up and say, "We're gonna make sure that reporting is mandatory." But coming back to what you said before about whether we'd be having the same conversations about George Pell if it was if he was the leader of another religion, I think that. It's a similar kind of there are parallels here in terms of the way that the Catholic Church has dealt with these mandatory reporting rules. Because if there was the head of the a major Islamic group came out and said, no, we're not going to do that,
that's right, there'd be.
I wonder what the public response would be.
Unfortunately, Benjamin, we've actually run out of time, which is a great shame. We'd love to have you in one Saturday. Come in and join us and, be a part of the show again.
I'd love to do that. Thanks very much for having me.
Thanks, Ben.
Thanks, Benjamin.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.